Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains, and today we're taking a look at Chewy and Lululemon stock before their upcoming earnings to see if investors might want to consider buying either of these for longer term growth as they sit well below their recent highs. But before we get into everything, I want to say to remember to subscribe and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts, and make sure to check out our new Zacks.com/promo page for a look into some of our services, portfolios, and more. So before we jump into Chewy and Lululemon, as always, I like to do just a broader market overview to help provide more context for any of the stocks we happen to be talking about that day. So the current market movement seems to continue to reflect the optimism about the possibility of 6% U.S. GDP growth in 2021 and the hope that people will be able to return to something closer to their normal lives later this year as the coronavirus vaccine is rolled out, and the continued injection of trillions of dollars into the U.S. economy and the Fed's easy money policies have helped conjure up those inflation fears that have popped up over the last couple of months. That's led to the wave of bond selling that sent the U.S. Treasury up from around 1.13% in early February to its current levels of over around 1.66%. So these higher yields have called into question tech valuations, and the Nasdaq's recent correction has scared some investors, but this is a very healthy recalibration and a healthy normal pullback, especially when we consider that we're a year off the March lows that have seen stocks go up 100, 200, 300, 600%, depending on some of the big high flyers. So despite this bond selling and valuation worries and some of the tech concerns, yields still remain historically low, which likely extends that there is no alternative or that TINA market that we've been in for some time. And clearly there could be more tech selling or underperformance in the near term as savvy investors, though, use these pullbacks to continue to buy stocks that they feel have solid long-term ability to grow, even as there could be more also rotation into some of the cyclical industries such as finance and energy that we've seen recently. With that said, though, we saw that U.S. consumer confidence continued to climb in March. It's up to about 85, according to the University of Michigan's closely followed Consumer Confidence Index. It topped economists' estimates, and it's at its highest level in over a year. So this is now the average American consumer being super high as we head into the spring. And as we mentioned, that coronavirus vaccine rolled out. And so with all this optimism, despite some of the recent volatility, we also know that the earnings picture continues to look really impressive. So the earnings estimates for Q1 are up from, we were calling for 12% growth back in early December. And if we look just earlier this March, we were calling for, so on March 3rd, we were calling for 18.5% S&P 500 earnings growth. And already as of this past Friday, the most recent data I have from Zacks, we were calling for 20% growth. So already 1.5% higher from early March. So estimates continue to go up. And in terms of then Q2 off those big lows from the year ago, we're calling for 50% growth. And just, yeah, the earnings picture continues to look really strong. So with this in mind, we're now going to take a look at the first of the two stocks we're talking about today. And the first one we're looking at is Chewy, which trades under the ticker CHWY, and it is set to release its fourth quarter fiscal 2020 financial results on Tuesday, March 30th. So after the bell on Tuesday. And now we're gonna dive into Chewy, what they do, and the case for possibly investing in the stock. So Chewy is an e-commerce focused pet store that offers relatively speedy delivery and automated delivery for everything from pet food and supplies and treats and medication for a wide variety of animals. The company was founded back in 2011 and went public in 2019. And it's carved out a nice spot within the crowded e-commerce world that's dominated by the likes of Amazon and Target and Walmart and all the other big players. So Chewy's offerings have clearly proven pretty compelling in our modern retail world. The firm added 5.1 million active customers during the first three quarters of fiscal 2020, and it ended Q3 with roughly 17.8 million active customers, with its Q3 sales up 45% to about $1.8 billion. And investors should know, and this is a really key point, that the company's auto ship business, which is we actually do it for our dog. You get their food and it comes whenever you decide you want to get it. So for us, it comes once a month and it's just delivered and you don't have to think about it. And this is where they generate 70% of their total revenue, which helps create that consistent revenue streams among these loyal pet owners that they continue to add during the pandemic. And we should also note that back in October, the company had launched its telehealth service dubbed Connect with the Vet. It's only available to its auto ship members. So that continues to try to drive that growth within that key group of customers, where now if you have a problem with your dog or your cat or any other animal and you don't want to go all the way to the vet, you could contact someone remotely. And this could prove to be a hit in the age of Teladoc and other telehealth services. Along those same lines, the company back in November said it was expanding its pharmacy to include compound medications and customized for specific pet needs. So in an age where people really care about their pets, and people who are doing this auto ship might be the perfect demographic for this really involved pet medication. So with this in mind, Zach's estimates are calling for Chewy's full year 2020 revenue to jump 46% to about $7.1 billion, with FY 2021 projected to climb another 26% higher to about $8.9 billion. And these would both come on top of last year's 37% revenue growth. So some solid top line growth. Meanwhile, its adjusted loss is projected to expand slightly this year to 38 cents per share for the year, but then it's projected to shrink all the way down to a loss of just 12 cents in FY 2021 as they continue to expand. Investors should also note that the company has seen some positive earnings estimate revisions to help it land a Zacks Rank number 2 buy at the moment. It's also blown away our earnings per share estimates in 3 out of the last 4 periods, including some big, nearly 50% beats in the trailing 2 quarters. The company also holds A grades for growth and momentum in our Salesforce system, and its shares are up about 140% since their market debut, and about 160% in the last year. And this is obviously off those March lows. That said, the stock has been hammered since the NASDAQ began to slide after it hit new records on February 12th. So the stock is now trading as of Monday morning at about $78 per share, or around 35% below the $120 it hit just roughly 6 weeks ago. As we mentioned, that sell-off coincides with the broader profit-taking from many of the high-flying stocks such as Tesla and all the countless others that were huge winners during the pandemic. So clearly, the stock has still been on a nice run, and the overselling might be a little overdone in the sense that, as we mentioned, 70% of its customers still come from, or 70% of its sales come from those auto ship members, and it's not likely that people are going to just stop that because they were doing this before the pandemic in many cases as well. And it's not like, oh, well, now that I can go back to stores more easily, I don't want to buy my pet food via auto ship. It seems like a pretty solid business model going forward, even as people return back to their normal lives. We did note that it fell below oversold thresholds in terms of RSI, or that relative strength index, earlier in March, fell beneath 30. And that was when the NASDAQ fell into a correction on March 8th. And it's still resting below neutral levels in terms of RSI at 37. Neutral levels are 50. Anything above 70 is considered that overbought level. So it still has plenty of room to grow before it reach overbought levels. It's also trading at about 3.8 times forward 12-month sales, or over 40% below its own year-long highs. This also marks a pretty big discount to fellow niche e-commerce firms like Etsy, which is trading at about 13 times forward earnings. And it's actually not too far above Amazon, which is rather impressive for any stock, certainly in terms of forward sales. And Chewy's operating in a relatively similar that e-commerce space. So therefore, investors certainly want to consider keeping their eye on the stock. Maybe consider buying it if you have a long-term investment strategy in it. It's trading well below. It's trading at 35% below its highs heading into its report on Tuesday. Obviously, if you want to hold off, maybe it could underwhelm completely and continue to fall. But if you have a longer term investment strategy for Chewy, maybe consider keeping an eye on it. You can buy in after they report on Tuesday after the bell. Certainly has a long-term ability to grow given our retail industry that we're living in today. And now we're going to move on to another stock that's been hit relatively hard that also is reporting after the bell on Tuesday, March 30th, and that is Lululemon, which trades under the ticker LULU. So the same thing we're going to do with Chewy. We're going to give the fundamentals and the broader case for possibly buying Lululemon. So the stock is still on a really impressive run over the last 5 years. It's up about 400% to blow away the apparel market's 70% average, Nike's 120%, and the benchmark S&P 500's 100% climb. So Lululemon has been a good stock to own if you have owned it over the last 5 years. The athleisure standout has also turned into now a sportswear powerhouse, and it was soaring in the 2020s as well, but Wall Street was praising its ability to grow despite some hard-hit numbers early on as their stores were forced to close. But it has fallen, just like Chewy recently. It's fallen over 20% since early September as investors have been underwhelmed by its guidance. So Chewy's downturn, a little more recent. This for Lululemon began in the fall of 2020. So that's a little bit of a primer, and now we're just going to dive into a little bit more about Lululemon's direct pitch to investors, its own customers as well. So Lululemon has expanded from a high-end yoga-focused clothing firm back in the late 1990s to a global apparel giant. Today, the company sells an array of athletic apparel for both men and women, alongside clothing that can be worn to work, on dates, the golf course, and way beyond. So the successful athleisure business has also helped change the way many people dress to the office and anywhere else. And office attire was already becoming far more relaxed before the pandemic. And this new maybe joint work from home, work in the office a couple days going forward could really help companies like Lululemon and other companies in this area continue to grow. And its success has really forced everyone from The Gap and Target and many others to start their own in-house athleisure brands. And Lululemon has also pushed further into outerwear, so those jackets and stuff for the winter, to compete against other companies, say like Canada Goose or North Face. More recently, it's rolled out self-care products. And then actually this past June, it purchased that digital focused at-home fitness company Mirror. You might have seen ads for it, which helps it expand into that hot growth category alongside the likes of Peloton and others that could continue to grow as maybe some people have gotten used to working out at home. And now that they have that convenience of it after things return to normal, maybe they won't rush back to the gym anyways. And Lululemon was also consistently focused on a direct-to-consumer business in its own standalone stores in e-commerce well before the pandemic. So this model has continued to pay off and remains beneficial as many department stores and others struggle to adapt to the changing shopping habits and malls continue to fade. So Lululemon's not as exposed to malls or say department stores like Macy's that have found it more difficult in this Amazon age. So with this in mind, the company closed Q3 with 515 company operated stores around the world. A majority of these are located in North America. Obviously it's a Canadian company, so a lot of its stores are in the US and Canada as well as Australia, and they're trying heavily to expand in Asia and Europe as well. And they've also introduced some experiential stores. One's actually in Chicago I've been to that has a yoga studio and cafe inside. So obviously the last year hasn't been great for that, but that could prove to be a successful effort going forward. So all of these things have helped Lululemon's annual revenue grow by an average of about 17% over the past 5 years. And this includes 24% expansion in FY18 and 21% growth last year. With this in mind, its first quarter revenue of this past year did fall 17%. That was due to the coronavirus as its stores were forced to close. Luckily, its e-commerce business was able to carry some of the load. It posted 22% top line growth in Q3. So things have returned far more closer to normal for Lululemon, and the company topped our Q3 earnings per share projection as well for the period ended on November 1st. And its direct-to-consumer revenue last quarter soared 94% to push its e-commerce revenue to 43% of total sales, which was up from underneath 30 in the year ago period. As we mentioned already, stock is up big over the last 5 years. It's outpaced Nike and Adidas and even Apple over the stretch, and it's cooled down. It's been underperforming the market over the last 6 months, which is likely healthy, as I mentioned, given this impressive run. So as of Monday morning, the stock was trading at around $313 per share, down roughly 20% from where it was in early September. Those were when it was trading at new highs. And investors should note that the company is trading below both its 50 and 200-day moving averages, which is a place it's rarely stayed for very long before when it has fallen below both those two technical thresholds. Stock has popped since it fell into oversold territory along with Chewy and much of the market on March 8th when the NASDAQ fell into that correction area. But at 49 in terms of RSI, it still sits below, right below that neutral level, which could give it even more room to run. And the recent downturn has also improved its valuation picture. It's trading 15% below its own one-year median at 7.4 times forward sales. And looking ahead, the Zacks estimates call for its Q4 revenue to climb 19% to about $1.7 billion to help lift its adjusted earnings by 9% as well. So despite that big drop back in Q1, the company's full-year revenue is still projected to climb by 9% to $4.3 billion. And then if we look ahead to FY 2021, the sportswear firm's sales are expected to surge another 25% higher, all the way to $5.4 billion for its best top-line expansion since fiscal 2013. Meanwhile, its adjusted earnings are projected to soar 45% to $6.65 per share in fiscal 2021. That said, Lululemon does hold a Zacks Rank number 3 hold at the moment, even though it has seen some positive earnings revisions in the last 7 days. We should also note that 16 of the 26 broker recommendations that Zacks has are strong buys for the stock at the moment, with none below a hold. So therefore, like with Chewy, longer-term investors really might want to consider buying this successful stock over the last 5 years. It's now trading at about 5% off its highs, even if there is more selling pressure or it underwhelms Wall Street when it reports after the bell on Tuesday. Longer-term investors certainly might want to consider this impressive athleisure stock, who's helped change the way lots of people dress, and maybe this more casual dress will become even more popular in this what's likely to be this new hybrid work from home, work in the office a couple of days a week going forward. So that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.
This material is being provided for informational purposes only, and nothing herein constitutes investment, legal, accounting, or tax advice, or a recommendation to buy, sell, or hold a security. Do not act or rely upon the information and advice given in this podcast without seeking the services of competent and professional legal, tax, or accounting counsel. Publication and distribution of this podcast is not intended to create, and the information contained herein does not constitute, an attorney-client relationship. No recommendation or advice is being given as to whether any investment or strategy is suitable for a particular investor. It should not be assumed that any investments in securities, companies, sectors, or markets identified and described were or will be profitable. All information is current as of the date herein and is subject to change without notice. Any views or opinions expressed may not reflect those of Zacks Investment Research as a whole.